Podcasting from the Deep Sage 9 Observatory in the high desert near Taos, New Mexico, this is the Deep Sage 9 Starcast. Welcome to the Starcast for the week of November 9th, 2025. I'm your host, Jay Schaefer, and with me is my co-host, Mike Lewinsky. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, Jay.
Let's go ahead and take a look at space weather. I guess there's something going on with the sun.
That's right, Jay. Sunspot 4274 has been unusually active. We have had some northern light displays, even on the full moon this past week. I caught just a hint of Aurora Borealis down in southern Colorado. And 4274 is an interesting sunspot mentioned earlier this week on Space Weather. The normal distribution of poles, positive and negative, would be left negative, right positive, but this sunspot is twisted. The positive poles are above and the negative poles are below. So twisted 90 degrees, breaking Hale's law, and this is creating tension, and this sunspot is just spitting out flares and CMEs, and we are now directly in the line of fire. So we have a strong chance of M-class flares of about 70% for the next 24 hours, 48 hours, and at least a 20% chance of X-class flares in the same window. As far as geomagnetic storms go, there's a 40% chance of active conditions at mid-latitudes and diminishing down to just a 15% chance of severe storms in the next 24 hours. But if this sunspot continues to act up, that could very well change in the coming days ahead. At higher latitudes, the chance of severe storms are bumped up to 70 to 80% over the next 2 days. Jay?
So, yeah, I came across my feed this morning that there was an X-class flare this morning. So I'm not sure if that was accurate. I just came across my news feeds, and so so it does bode to a possible CME and some stuff happening this week in the Aurora category. So we had a full moon last Thursday, November 5th and 6th, called the Beaver or Super Hunter's Moon. And the current lunar phase is waxing gibbous, meaning that the moon is now rising and setting progressively later each night.
Waning gibbous, right?
Yes. Did I say waxing?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. waning gibbous, meaning that it is getting darker. Okay. And so it's setting progressively later each night, and this shift offers a unique viewing opportunity in the week ahead. The daytime moon, which will be visible over the western horizon after sunrise and appear pale against the blue sky. If you look to the west this morning, you'll probably see the moon about to set. And observers may experience the moon illusion, making the moon look remarkably large as it dips toward the horizon. And as the cycle progresses toward the last quarter moon, coming up here on Wednesday, November 12th, then at that phase, the moon will rise about midnight. And then, of course, at dawn, the moon will be basically overhead. News from today, Sunday, the November 9th, Blue Origin's powerful New Glenn rocket is set for its second ever launch this weekend, carrying a NASA mission to the Red Planet. The twin ESCAPADE, which stands for Escape and Plasma Acceleration and Dynamics Explorers probes, are scheduled to lift off from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station today, Sunday, November 9th, during a 2.5 window opening at about 2:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I think that's an error on that news story. It should be 2:45 Eastern Standard Time. And This marks the first Mars mission launch in over 5 years, following the departure of the Perseverance rover in 2020. The $80 million escapade mission is consisting of two identical Rocket Lab-built spacecraft named Blue and Gold, after the UC Berkeley's colors, and is designed to study the loss of Mars's atmosphere. The probes will be initially sent to the Earth-Sun Lagrange Point 2 to study space weather for a year. Then they will use the Earth's gravity assist in November 2026 to slingshot toward Mars, arriving about 10 months later. So once there, the orbiters will spend at least 11 months flying in formation to create a 3D map of the red planet's near space environment, providing vital information about conditions that could affect future human settlement. And so this is kind of, they're taking the long route to Mars. So Mars is not in the optimal position for launching right now. And so these probes are actually going to take almost 2 years to get to Mars. And it's kind of the slow route, and using gravity assist and the Lagrange points. So that's pretty interesting. And then in other space news, space debris has delayed the astronauts' return home from the Tiangong space station. Three astronauts aboard the Tiangong space station must now wait longer than expected to return to Earth after their six-month mission. As a Chinese manned space agency assesses potential damage to their spacecraft, the crew, who launched in April on Qingzhou 20 mission, were originally slated to land in northern China this past Wednesday. However, their homecoming has been postponed due to suspected impacts from space debris on the Qingzhou 20 return vehicle. The CMSA is currently conducting extensive tests and assessments to ensure that the capsule is completely safe for the trio to return before settling on a new return date. Meanwhile, a new crew of three, having arrived last week on Qingzhou 21 spacecraft, has already taken over duties on the station. So Mike and I sometimes take ourselves a little too seriously. So we're trying to lighten things up a bit. And so our friend Gek Stone has suggested a game show-like segment, which he's calling Which is Bigger. So we're going to throw it over to Gak, and he's going to introduce our first contestant in the game show, Which is Bigger. Gak?
Good day. This is Gak Stone, your on-the-ground space reporter, with another episode of Which is Bigger. I'm here with our new contestant. What's your name?
Lorraine.
Good day, Lorraine. All right. Which is bigger? Dark energy or dark matter?
No one knows for sure, not even Michelle or the Shadow. But if I had to take a guess, I would say dark energy is more forceful than dark matter. So dark energy will make more space, where dark matter will be condensing space. So there's no way to say which is bigger. And what do you mean by that? Do you mean by mass?
Excellent. All right, back to you, Jay and Mike.
Thanks, Gak. That was very interesting. So that leads us to another news story and our topic for today, right, Mike?
Yeah, this is so timely, Jay. So a new study is challenging the long-held Nobel Prize-winning theory that the expansion of the universe is accelerating, suggesting instead that it is slowing down or decelerating. Researchers led by Professor Jung-Wook Lee of Yonsei University in South Korea re-examined the key observations of type 1A supernova, exploding stars that are used as standard candles to measure cosmic distance and expansion. The team concludes that a systemic error or age bias in the original data failed to account for variations in properties of stars in the early universe. By correcting this bias and more accurately estimating the ages of the supernova's host galaxies, the team's analysis indicates that the universe has already entered a phase of decelerated expansion, and that the mysterious force known as dark energy, thought to be propelling that expansion, must be weakening or evolving over time. If confirmed, these findings will mark a major paradigm shift in cosmology and fundamentally change our assumptions about the nature of dark energy, which makes up approximately 70% of the cosmos. Most profound implication is for the ultimate fate of the universe. If dark energy continues to weaken, the universe may not expand forever into a final cold big freeze, but could eventually reverse course and collapse back in on itself in a big crunch, a hypothetical reversal of the Big Bang. While these provocative results are expected to be met with skepticism, they do align with similar independent conclusions reached by other projects, such as the influential Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument, or DESI Consortium, and sparking a fierce debate among astronomers over the true nature of the universe's expansion.
So this new story leads us directly to our discussion of dark matter and dark energy as part of our continuing series about cosmology and leading up to the current crisis in cosmology, or the Hubble tension. And so this, I'm sure before this new story came out this week, we were going to talk just about dark energy and expansion. And because that's what the crisis in cosmology is all about. So it's still a very controversial topic. And so can you expand a little bit about dark energy there, Mike?
Sure, Jay. I'm excited by this particular finding, and I hope that it holds up. I'll be honest, I'm team Big Crunch. And and I'll explain toward the end of the segment why. But the current standard, what we call the concordance cosmology, is the Lambda CDM model. And Lambda is a Greek letter that looks like an inverted V. And so you'll sometimes see this upside down V CDM model. And the Lambda CDM model has three major components. First is the cosmological constant, which is denoted by the lambda symbol, and that this is associated with dark energy. So when we talk about the lambda CDM, lambda is dark energy, and then CDM is the cold dark matter, and so that's what CDM stands for. And we talked about dark matter last week, and then the third component is just ordinary matter. So we call this the concordance model because there was a period in the 80s, 70s and 80s when disparate properties of the universe appeared to be mutually inconsistent. And so there was no consensus on the makeup of energy density in the universe. But the current standard model of Big Bang cosmology, first of all, accounts for cosmic microwave background radiation, which is where we started this theory, and the large-scale structure of galaxy distribution in the universe, and the abundance of hydrogen, helium, and lithium throughout the universe, as well as the accelerating expansion observed in the light from the distant galaxies and supernova. So this model assumes general relativity is our correct theory, and that we have dark energy as this lambda cosmological constant. It is worth pointing out here that when Einstein originally developed his general theory of relativity, he put in this cosmological constant. And then after some research came about to further define the makeup of the universe, Einstein says, I was wrong. This was actually my biggest blunder. But it turns out that he was probably not wrong. He had to go back after observations said, no, the universe is expanding. And so dark energy is the force that we believe is causing the expansion of the universe. And even if this new findings hold true, we don't get rid of dark energy. We just allow dark energy to evolve over time. That's really what the current findings are suggesting. So what exactly is dark energy? I know you've got to be wondering this. I certainly do. And at this point, it is a mysterious force that is causing an expansion.
I'll just pose the question here for you. And so isn't it just like anti-gravity?
So we really don't know, Jay. There are a number of different explanations. This is often described as having the effect of negative pressure that is pushing space itself outward. So we're not just talking about the expansion of matter, we're talking about the expansion of space itself. And some scientists believe that this might be vacuum energy. In the vacuum of space, it's not truly empty. We have continual, according to quantum field theory, continual pairs of particles and antiparticles that are popping into existence and canceling each other out. And some scientists believe that there could be vacuum energy that is causing this effect and that is filling cosmos and pushing space outward. However, I will say that the evidence for this is somewhat weak. We believe that, you know, there is either so much vacuum energy in the universe, according to the models, that the universe should have expanded so fast with so much force that no stars or galaxies could have ever formed, and we wouldn't be here to talk about this. Or that the amount of vacuum energy in the cosmos is too small to have caused this. So vacuum energy is not a great explanation, but it's still kind of floating around out there. Another possible explanation is something called quintessence, which was a theoretical fifth element discussed by ancient Greek philosophers. And so some scientists believe that there could be this thing called quintessence, which would be a combination of dark energy and dark matter, though most scientists believe that these two are completely separate from each other. Another possible explanation for dark energy is what we're calling space wrinkles. These would be defects like cosmic strings in the early universe fabric that have expanded and continued to create this effect of expansion and accelerating expansion. And finally, the fourth sort of leading theory is not a theory of dark energy at all. It's actually the idea that there's a flaw in general relativity and that gravity does not work the way we think it does on the scale of the whole universe. So we may need to modify our understanding of gravity at the very largest scales in order to reconcile this Hubble tension. Einstein did propose an idea in 1919 called unimodular gravity, which would be a modified version of general relativity that wouldn't require dark energy. So we would get rid of the lambda in the lambda CDM. So with that, I want to just mention that in this new research, we are taking basically what the Yonsei University researchers have done is they have made additional measurements of very distant galaxies using type 1A supernova. And they have a much larger sample now of 300 galaxies, and are that basically the idea here is that the progenitor stars in these distant galaxies are in fact behaving differently than we believe that they should. That these are that the age of those progenitor stars are in fact affecting their brightness, and that what we call the standard candle is needs to be revised for at least where it concerns the supernova.
That's what we talked about two episodes ago, right?
Correct. Yeah, even after standardizing the luminosity, the supernova from the younger stellar populations appear to be systematically fainter, and those from the older populations are systematically brighter. So the standard candle needs to be calibrated for the age, and that this would suggest, you know, that there has been a change over time in that dark energy that would be affecting the distance. In other words, that these are not dimmer because they're further, they're dimmer because they're older. And so, and it's not just that, you know, that they're older and therefore they're not as bright. It's that when they were formed, the force of dark energy was different, and therefore their brightness is different as a result of that. So, you know, once we do this, we start to resolve the Hubble tension. We have the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument Project, which is using baryonic acoustic oscillations and cosmic microwave background data to make a model of the cosmological constant. And the baryonic acoustic oscillations, or BAOs, are actually the sound of the Big Bang itself. So when they correct the supernova data with the BAO and cosmic microwave background, or CMB results, indicate that dark energy is weakening and evolving over time. And when we correct the supernova data combined with those results, the standard lambda CDM model is ruled out with overwhelming significance. We're talking about a 99.999% confidence that standard cosmological model is wrong, and therefore that the universe is decelerating now, and that it may in fact crunch back on itself.
It certainly is and you know, traditionally, you know, I've been in kind of the big crunch school too, because in this that it's elegant in the sense that then the universe is basically a cycle, and that there are other universes to follow, you know, after the big crunch turns into another big bang. So you know, so I've always thought that that was the more elegant than the big freeze.
Yes. And I mentioned that I was also in team big crunch. And so this news story is very heartening to me. And I wanted to just read a little bit from the beginning of Robinson Jeffers' poem, The Great Explosion. I think that there is a very beautiful metaphor used here. So if that's all right with you, Jay, I'll take about 30 seconds or so here.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Explosion by Robinson Jeffers. The universe expands and contracts like a great heart. It is expanding. The farthest nebula rush with the speed of light into empty space. It will contract. The immense navies of stars and galaxies, dust clouds and nebula are recalled home. They crush against each other in one harbor. They stick in one lump and then explode it. Nothing can hold them down. There is no way to express that explosion. All that exists roars into flame. The tortured fragments rush away from each other into all the sky. New universes jewel the black breast of night, and far off the outer nebula, like charging spearmen, again invade emptiness. No wonder we are so fascinated with fireworks and our huge bombs. It is a kind of homesickness, perhaps, for the howling fire blast that we were born from. but the whole sum of the energies that made and contain the giant atom survives. It will gather again and pile up the power and the glory, and no doubt it will burst again. Diastole and systole, the whole universe beats like a heart.
Great. So next week, we'll probably sum up this whole crisis in cosmology and Hubble tension using all the kind of building blocks that we've built over the last couple of weeks. And so that will kind of we'll wrap up this series. And is that right, Mike?
Yes. And, you know, we almost got an anticlimax here with this new research. But, of course, we need more confirmation. So we're going to... hedge our bets.
But that's the thing about science is that, the uncertainty and science go hand in hand, as well as poetry, apparently. We want to go ahead and thank all of our listeners for checking out this podcast and our game show segment. And please be sure to comment, like, and subscribe, and let us know what you'd like to hear more about. You can also check out our individual websites at wildernessvagabonds.com for Mike's website and skylapser.com for my website. And if you'd like to help us out, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/skylapser. And the intro music is Fanfare for Space by Kevin MacLeod from the YouTube Audio Library. From the Deep Sage 9 Observatory, this is Jay Schaefer and
Mike Lewinsky
wishing you all clear skies.